You're now listening to episode 22 of I'm an Adult, Now What? Hosted by Jade Pattinson. In this episode, I'm joined by Jamila Pomeroy. She's a writer, actress, model, and just general storyteller. The links to her work are in the bio, and now you're gonna hear me pronounce her name wrong. My bad. All right, hi, I'm here with Jamila. Hi, Jamila.
Did I pronounce it wrong?
Jamila.
Oh yes, my God. No, it's okay. It's a very different name. It's super hard to, yeah, there's not many of us, for sure.
How do you spell it?
J-A-M-I-L-A.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know, there's a singer called I think she says it Jamila, but now I'm questioning that.
There are so many different pronunciations and so many different spellings, too. My parents tried to make it, as Canadianized as possible.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I haven't even seen my spelling before. Usually there's at least an H at the end.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Or, a double L, or, I don't know, people try and get creative with it.
Fair. You have a nice name, though. I like it.
Thank you.
So, you are a writer.
Yes.
And a model.
Yes.
And what else do you do?
I do a little bit of everything. Yeah, I would say, when people ask me, okay, what do you do in one word? I always just say that I'm a storyteller.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I express storytelling through many different channels.
Right.
But yeah, I started off as a writer, and I also used to, I still do it, but I haven't had much time for it. But I also, my background is in fine art, so painting. Right.
Amazing.
So yeah, that used to be I used to write and paint. That was I had a painting day job where I worked under an artist, and then I would spend my then I'd go home and work for another 4 hours on writing projects and things like that.
Right.
But now I went full on freelance in end of January, beginning of February.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. And since then it's been mainly just working as a freelance journalist and then doing little bits of copywriting to fill in the slow season.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and then I got signed as a model and a commercial actor kind of at the same time.
Okay.
Commercial acting first and then modeling. So now I'm been doing that, and I also own an indie publication that's pretty much just print.
Right.
Called Avocado Toast Post.
I love that name.
Thank you.
I love it so much.
Yeah, so I think it's just about storytelling, but expressing that in different ways.
Right.
Sometimes I feel certain stories need to be told visually.
Totally.
Some things need to be told through a non-direct modeling expression.
Right.
Some things I want to deep dive and write a novel about.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. You've done so many things already. So it's just kind of I'm so curious to see where you'll go from here. Because I read your article that was online. Was it Bloom? Am I?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I wrote that article for Avocado Toast.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Was that the one?
I think so.
Okay.
Honestly, my head is all over the place. But I read it, and you were talking about different things. So you're talking about how you wrote a book? You've written a novel?
Okay, so that was an article for the Famco magazine. So they're New Jersey-based magazine. They also do some Vancouver coverage as well.
Right.
But yes. Yeah. Okay. Famco.
Amazing. Nice. Okay. See, I would be a horrible journalist.
No.
Look at the job I'm doing.
No, not at all. It's I still don't even fully understand that industry. It's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that magazine is really interesting because it's all about sort of highlighting the creative scene, but in a different way, in a non boring, white archival way,
right?
Which I feel like most creative magazines are like.
Yeah, I agree. And so I guess because this is just an audio thing.
Yeah.
You are ethnic.
Yes. Yeah.
What's your ethnicity?
I'm half Kenyan. So my dad was born in Kenya. So I'm first generation Canadian on his side. Nice. He was a refugee from Kenya.
Oh, wow.
And my mom is a Newfoundlander. And her roots are mostly like Norwegian, English. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so a little bit of like a little bit of everything.
Nice. So you're half Caucasian, half African American.
Yes. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Just so that people...
Or not even, like, not even... I wouldn't even say, like, African-American or African-Canadian, because I feel like that has to do with, like, you would have to be there for a while. So, I have, like, a Kenyan passport and everything, and I'm technically, like, a Kenyan citizen. So, I would say, like, straight up half...
African?
Like, half African and half...
Drop the American.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, see, that's a funny thing, because, like, my mom is African.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, like, I just say African-American as in, like, I guess a generalization, but
yeah.
Technically it should be, like, African-Canadian.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it's just complicated.
Crazy. Where is your mom from?
She's from Zambia.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we kind of have similar-ish, like,
backgrounds
there.
So awesome.
But, yeah, so how do you find being, like, an ethnic writer? Is it... What challenges do you face?
Oh my goodness. There's a lot. I think like the main challenge is we're like super tokenized and everybody wants to have like a person of color writer on their team slash like even more tokenized if you're a woman. Mm. Like that's like sort of like the end all be all right now. Like if you have a woman of color on your team, like you're super progressive and whatnot.
Right.
So there's definitely like a huge, it's a weird contrast because they want you, but then they also don't necessarily like, they want you to say that they have you on the team.
Right.
But they don't necessarily want you for what you can contribute, or they want you to contribute, but then you'll have, like, a team of editors, like, editing out parts that are maybe not true to your learned experience or lived experience.
Right. Okay.
So
they tweak it back to being kind of the generalized Caucasian experience kind of thing. Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question. Like, do they actually want to hear the unique perspective that you have to bring to the table, or is it just kind of like they're filling like a, or they feel like they're filling like a quota that they have to reach, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's a little bit of both. Like, I feel like they want you to go in depth about your experience, but then when they realize like maybe how different your experience is, or how like not in line your experience may be with like the publication's trajectory, then it all of a sudden becomes like, oh no, this is too political. And then it begs the question like, okay, why is my existence like too political, or why is my point of view too political, even though it's like, this is just my experience.
Yeah, right? It's like, oh, this is too much, this is too deep for us.
Yeah.
But it's like, try having to like actually live it.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
And it's just like, you're, I don't know, you're just saying how it is, right? Like when you speak of your experience. But yeah, that's what I was like worried about, that they would try and like,
happens all the time.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, I think it happens like particularly very often with journalism, which is kind of why I've been like slowly leaving journalism and going into like film and TV writing.
Right. And that's what you're currently doing, right?
Yeah. So I can't say too much about it because they haven't released the press release for the series.
Makes sense.
But yeah, I'm working on a series right now as like a writer researcher. And then I have like a few pilots that I might be working on in like 2020, which is exciting. And a couple of like side gigs writing like commercials and documentaries. So
That's so cool.
It's very exciting. Yeah. 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 I think something that I've realized through modeling and commercial acting is like, I definitely want to be present in that scene.
Right.
And definitely want to like continue to like showcase myself from a visual aspect, because I think it's important that like we are out there and we're seen.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, especially for commercial work, like I feel like things aren't going to change and until these parts are written correctly.
Right.
Like I would love to be able to go out and not be, like, only casted for, like, urban roles and things like that, yeah. where it's, like, oh, okay, like, my day job or my, like, regular career is as a writer, but I'm never going to be able to, like, I would never be able to play a role like that. Like, it would be...
You're the friend of the writer.
Yeah, like friend, of the writer, cool friend of or, the writer. Yeah, or maybe I, like, work at a coffee shop and I'm an aspiring writer.
Right.
But I don't think, like, society as deemed in film is really on that level of showcasing, like, women of color as, like, intellectuals.
Yeah, like, there are series that are starting to show that, like, yeah. How to Get Away with Murder and,
yes.
You know, Scandal and whatnot.
And, but, like, Dear White People and...
Yeah. Yeah, but totally. It's just, like, in the spectrum of all these TV shows and movies that are out there, that's, like, you know, a handful, you know?
And do you find sometimes, like, have you watched Dear White People?
I have, yeah. Okay. The first season.
Yeah. Did it frustrate you? At all?
You know, I don't fully remember the show, but I do remember being slightly, like, uncomfortable in some way, but it wasn't from, like, a, oh, this is too much, because I've experienced that in my life, so it's like, But, you know, there was something about it, but I can't fully remember what it was.
Yeah, I felt like there were so many points where I was like, oh, this is, like... This is so beautiful that they're writing about this, but, like, it was so surface level, or, like, why are they still following, like, these archetypes? Like, even, right. I know there is, like, one, if I'm remembering correctly, one episode where the lead character, she's, like, just beginning her, like, radio show called Dear White People.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's, I don't know, just the way she's portrayed in it, it's very, like, angry and, like, I'm just gonna, like, attack all white people and, like, I'm gonna be super sassy about it.
Yeah.
There's no, like, whereas obviously that's, like, something that's, like, part of our community, but it's not, there are also people who are trying to be a bit more diplomatic about it. Yes. And, like, trying to be, like, okay, well, how can we, like, connect our communities and not have this, like, huge contradiction between, like, it, like, oh, you're white and I'm black, or, like, I'm half black, so, like, we don't belong together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I completely agree. Yeah, now it's coming back to me more. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like it's creating a tension between the two groups of people, but then she also had, like, her white boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like, I think she was, like, ashamed to be with him. Like, there was kind of, like, a bit of that going on.
And they're, like, all of her black friends were, like, unhappy that she was dating a white dude. Yeah. And there was, like...
And it, like, lessened how, like, what she was trying to do, like, the point she was trying to make. It, for some reason, her having a white boyfriend lessened that in their eyes, and also kind of in her own eyes, I guess.
Totally.
So I was just kind of like, no, like, you can date whoever and still keep that in, like, you know, keep that point.
Totally. So. But I've also had that happen to me many times I've had people, like, I've only ever dated white men. And it's never been, like, a conscious, like, oh, I only date white men thing. It's just, that's just...
How it happens. Right.
And I've had so many, like, so many of my friends who are, like, black, half black, they're always, like, why, though? And it's, like, this weird, I'm, like, well, I mean, you wouldn't say that to, like, a white person, like, oh, my gosh, like, why, though? Because that would be, like, so racist.
And also, like, just, like, so strange.
It's so weird.
Why are you dating other white people? Like,
yeah. It's like, also, like, I am half black and half white. So why is that even, like...
a thing.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, you have to look at the pool of people that you're around. Mm-hmm. Like, your options, right?
Yeah.
Like, if there's the majority of white people around you, chances are you're probably going to date a white person.
Exactly.
Whereas if you're living in Kenya and there's majority, like, African men, like, you probably end up dating a black African man.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny situation.
Yeah. But it doesn't change, like, how you walk this earth, like, as yourself and what you look like, what race you are, you know?
Totally.
Like, who you date has nothing really to do with that.
Exactly.
And you might be dating a woke white person, like...
Yeah, who knows? So, yeah, I feel like it's such an interesting thing, like, especially being, like a light-skinned black woman, there's a lot of, like... interesting things that come with that.
Yeah.
And, like, how people see your identity and how people, like, approach, like, your whiteness and your blackness.
Right. Yeah, no, I completely agree. Do you find that you run into those problems, like, in your work and just in life in general?
I think, yeah, I would say yes, definitely. I feel like sometimes people are surprised if I, like, deal with, like, racist situations, and they're like, but you're, like, light-skinned, so how does that happen to you? I don't understand. And it's like, kind of follows that whole, like, one-drop mm-hmm. ideology where, you know, like, even though I am half white, I'm always going to be perceived as a person of color before being a white person.
Yeah.
But I also find, like, my white family sees me as being black, and my black family sees me as being white. So it's, like,
yeah,
an interesting situation. Like, you're never fully what, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. I agree. And it's kind of like, I mean, like, even your style today, like, I love it. The way you're dressed, you look
Thank
awesome.
Thank you. Thanks.
But it's just like, I could see people looking at you and assuming something about you, especially yeah. like, because you're not dressed like urban.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I always get that. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. Like, I, not last night, but the night before, I was walking runway for Van City Street Week. Right. And, like, so many of the comments from, like, my stories and stuff, people were like, wow, I've never seen you dress so black before. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is, I've never seen you wear so much streetwear. And, like, wow, like, you have cornrows. Like, this is so black. And I was like, what is going on? This wow. is, like, this is crazy. Like, it's insane.
Were these people that you know, like...
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
were they black typically? Or was it a mixture?
Both. Yeah. Okay. Both for sure. It was like surprise from both ends. I think the like, I like jokingly just put like a poll because I had cornrows for it. I haven't had my hair braided since I was like 13 years old.
Okay. Gotcha.
Which is like a whole, like, I grew up in like super suburbs in a very white neighborhood. Gotcha. And it was more so like, oh, when I wear braids, all of my friends, like, white suburban moms say that I'm ghetto. And, like, oh, there's all of these things God. That come with that. So I'm yeah. going to just try and be as white as possible to, right. like,
survive,
not like, deal with that.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, like, a weird, not weird. It was, like, a little bit of, like, an empowering situation to, like, have braids for the first time.
Nice.
But then I jokingly put a poll on my story and was, like, oh, should I just do braids all the time? And it was interesting to see who said yes and who said no.
Mm.
And a lot of, like, my white family members who I have on Instagram said no.
Right.
And I was kind of, like, taken back by it because it was like, oh, I haven't done this in, like, however many years. And yeah. it's, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, because braiding your hair is kind of, like, a cultural thing and mm-hmm. also like a maintenance thing.
Yeah.
And,
you know, totally.
So it's just kind of like, oh, I don't know, when people say don't do that, it's like, but what?
I know. It was like a total joke too. It wasn't even like yeah. thinking about it when I put it. And then when I looked at like who said no, I was like, oh, this is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, it's interesting the feedback you get sometimes, especially when you just put it out there as a joke.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it really got that deep, huh?
Okay. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and you're like, I kind of asked for this, but like, what the fuck?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, it's funny how people think you should act / dress and like yeah. be as a person, for, yeah. like out of archetypal norms. It's weird.
Yeah, like I'm like, it doesn't matter if I love Harry Potter and I dress a certain way. My experience as a black woman doesn't really change, because if I go into a store, someone treats me a certain way, like they haven't even talked to me yet.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But because they just see like, oh, you're black, and then if they're making assumptions about that, and you know, it's just, that's got nothing to do with the things I like and how I dress typically. Yeah. Some ways that you dress will affect how someone views you too, but
totally,
like, it'll make it worse if they have like a predisposed bias towards
definitely
you. But like, you know what I mean, it's just kind of like, I dress how I dress, but that doesn't make me not like black, and it doesn't make me not white too.
Yeah, Like, do you feel like depending on how you dress, you get treated differently?
Yeah, definitely. Even like the look on my face, like on the SkyTrain, if I get on the SkyTrain wearing like more streetwear type stuff, like sweatpants and stuff, and then my face looks unimpressed or kind of bitchy, like I can tell people are kind of like almost intimidated by it. And then when I'm wearing like my like light pink raincoat and you know, and I look happier, like people treat me slightly differently.
Totally.
Like, they're more likely to talk to me or ask me a question or something. Like,
yeah.
You know?
It's crazy because usually I have, like, obviously no one can see how I'm looking right now. Usually I have my hair up in, like a floofy little bun situation. Yeah. And I, like, I do wear my hair down. Like, I have a fro, but it's not, like, a kinky fro. I don't know. It's hard to explain, like, without seeing a visual, but like I feel like I am treated so differently if I have like my natural hair out versus if it's straight versus if it's up. And like yesterday when I was riding the bus from the network where I'm working on a TV show, I like was looking for my change and I had cornrows, right? So I was like looking for my change, and then the bus driver was like, just so you know, this is a fair paid zone, and you can't just expect to get on the bus for free. And like, and he was like super snarky to me, and it's the same bus driver I've like seen going back and forth to work for like the past like week.
Yeah.
And I was kind of just like taken back, and I was like, does he not recognize me? And then I realized I like forgot that my hair is in cornrows.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's like just to see how people like how people treat you depending on like how your hair is.
Yeah, like that's such a drastic like thing to say. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, honestly, like, I feel like whenever I change my hair, some people don't recognize me. And, like, at work, too. And some people I've seen multiple times and talked to multiple times. And then I change my hair, and then it's, like, it takes them a bit to be, like, is that her or is that her sister?
Totally.
And I'm, like, we don't even look that much alike, like, my sister and I. It's just, like, interesting.
Yeah, totally.
But, yeah, I just, it throws me off.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing with, like, how I dress. Like, if I do dress anything close to streetwear, it's like a completely different like experience in life versus like right now I'm wearing like 70s pants, like wide leg pants with flowers on them, and like a sweater and like a necklace with flowers, so it's like definitely not streetwear. But yeah, I know like my experience walking down the street like this versus like walking down the street in like some like fresh kicks and like leggings or like streetwear, whatever. It's a different Fine. experience. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, it's crazy how that happened. And one of the things I saw or read in your article was you were saying that like you're kind of hesitant to start modeling because you didn't want it to kind of you were talking about intelligence and beauty being like people think it's mutually exclusive, but it doesn't have to be.
Yes. Yeah, that's
can expand on that.
Totally. Yeah. So I guess like I did a little bit of modeling in high school, and I like a couple of runway shows, and then just like shooting like e-commerce for like a handful of brands. Like I wasn't signed. I wasn't like working at this capacity. Yeah. But I kind of, I don't know, I feel like I was like very like self-righteous when I was in high school, and was very like, oh, like I'm like worth so much more than this, and like I'm not like I don't have like a model brain, like I'm smart and I'm intelligent, and like I need to like do something more than this.
Yeah.
So I just like stopped doing it and like fully like immersed myself in other creative expressions.
Right.
And like I've been approached by like a couple of agencies like since then, and I said no and was like, no, I don't want to model. And like I've had like a few people ask me to model for things, and I've always been like, no, it's not really my thing.
Right.
And then I think I like befriended a couple of other people in the industry now who are models, and I was like, wow, these people are so intelligent, which is like so stupid and so like I don't know, I just feel like when, like, as a woman, like, when you're a kid, it's so driven into you. At least it was like when we were younger, like, okay, you're either pretty or you're smart. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be both.
Right.
And, like, you should focus on one of those things where, like, I don't know, that's just, like, so wrong in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I was really, like, I wasn't, like, outright, like, oh, well, if I become a model, like, I can't be smart. But it was definitely, I think, rooted in that.
Yeah.
And then when I went to, I kind of, like, went to the casting for Stranger Agency, mm-hmm. like, not really, I was like, oh, it'd be really cool if I like, got to do this. Like, that'd be amazing.
Right.
But I don't think I, like, really, at that time, like, believed that I could be a model. Like, I was like, okay, like, let's just, like, try this out.
Right.
And then, yeah, I got signed by them. And my experience has been, like, so different than what it was like when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah?
In, like, the best way possible. Mm-hmm, yeah. And I feel like, I don't know if it's just the agency or the industry has changed over, like, the past, like, 10 years, but
mm-hmm.
I feel like models are seen as people versus mannequins more so now,
right.
which is really great. And a lot of models I know in the industry are, like, really multidisciplinary creatives who do many different things,
mm-hmm.
like yourself. Like, you're out here doing this podcast, and you're also a model and an actor. So, yeah.
Nice girl. Yeah. No, I totally, like, I resonated with that so much just because I kind of had the same thing, too, or I have noticed that a lot of people, and it's like, it could be my own paranoia, don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
but I just find that a lot of people don't want you to be smart as well as beautiful.
If they, 100%.
If they consider you beautiful, you know, then it's like, they don't necessarily want you to be smart because it's just like, that's too much, you know, like you already have that. So just leave it at that.
I've gotten so many comments from men about like, oh, like, poor you, like, you're a model and a writer, or like, oh, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like,
it's like, what?
No, like, don't say that. Like, that's not, like, or even, like, if I'm going through a time and having a difficult time, it's like, oh, like, it must be so difficult being a model and being intelligent. And it's like, it doesn't mean that you don't
have
go
feelings.
Through things.
Yeah.
And like, you don't have to, there is no struggle associated with that. Like,
yeah.
You still have to put in the work. You don't just get something because you are a model. And
yeah like, there's definitely a pretty privilege that exists in the world.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
but it's just kind of like, that doesn't, I just get so, like, hurt when it's like to do with intelligence,
mm-hmm.
like when people belittle you because of that, like if you say something and they just either don't want to hear your opinion on it because it's like, what do you know, or
totally,
or they try, I don't know, they just try and tear you down or something, like, mm-hmm. even the other day at work, I got in, like, a shuttle, like, on set, and basically, the shuttle driver, I just asked him, like, hey, like, are you gonna wait for the other background, because I'll just go, like, put my, I didn't say this yet, I just said, are you gonna wait for the other background?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, it's not all about you. And I was like, I didn't say it was. And I was like, what is this energy you're throwing at me? And I was just like, I was just asking, like, to see if I have time to go run to my car, like, walk mm-hmm. to my car. And then he's like, oh, I can just drive you over there. And, like, he totally switched it up because I kind of threw the same attitude back at him because I just, like, got so annoyed. Like,
yeah.
I had just gotten in the vehicle and he just made this assumption about me. And I was
like, you're, like, a prima donna who's like, drive me to my car.
Yeah. Like, and I have a little, this little pink suitcase, and I have, like, a rain jacket that's the same color. So I was wearing, like, that. So I probably just looked like this, like, you know, but I was like, you just made a really quick assumption about me, and I wasn't even asking him to drive me over there. I just wanted to know if I had enough time to. Anyway, it was just like one of those things where I'm like, really, people, like, you have no idea about, like, anyone's experience in life, you know?
Totally. Oh yeah, I've had things like that happen on set. Like, I was shooting a commercial last week, and somebody kind of, like, was like, I don't know, just, they were talking to me, and I could tell they were, like, just their, like, how they were approaching conversation and everything was very, like, belittling and everything. And then they asked, like, they were like, oh, like, what's your Instagram or whatever? And then, like, we exchanged Instagram, and then I'm, like, eating my lunch on set, whatever, and they come up to me, and they're like, wow, like, I didn't, like, you're a writer? Like, that's so cool. And, like, the mood and the vibe completely changed. And it was like, now I respect you.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
Like, now that I know that, like, you're not, like, the guy literally said to me, he's like, wow, so you don't just have actor brain.
Oh, my God.
Which was... I don't know. I don't even, like, really see, like, commercial acting as, like acting. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it, like, it is, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, like, I don't know. I feel, I don't know if that's just, like, imposter syndrome or, like, if I'm, like,
No, I get what you mean. It's a different type of kind of acting, mm-hmm. I think. But it's still, like, acting, but it is more, like, lighthearted. Kind
yes,
of.
Yeah.
I totally get what you mean, but, oh, my God, I can't believe he said, like, oh, you don't have actor brain.
Yeah, and I was just kind of, like, and I always feel like I'm, in these moments, I am so shocked that I don't really say anything.
Yeah, I do that, too.
And then after the fact, like, I'll be marinating and whatever happened, and I'm like, oh, I should have said this, or, like, I come up with, like, a witty, like, thing to say, like, 6 hours later.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Like, next time I'll keep that in the back pocket. But, like, yeah. That situation is very, very frustrating, yeah, for sure.
People are just, like, wild in that way. And it's just, I don't know what it is. It's just kind of, like, the assumption that also you think you're hot shit because you look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Which is making another assumption, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I can tell that you're the type of person that knows there's way more to people than just how they look. Because you're a writer. You dive deep into things. You storytell and all that, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like, you know that. So you know that you're, just because you're stunning doesn't make you better than anyone else.
No,
you know what I mean?
Not at all.
So it's like someone who's just met you, assuming that you think that about yourself, like, that you're better than them, that's obviously to do with how they feel about themselves.
Yeah.
But it's just very frustrating because it's like, don't take that out on me, though.
You totally. Know what I mean? And I try to see things as, like, okay, if someone's, I have to take into account, like, they have a different lived experience than I do. Mm-hmm. And, like, usually things are just projections of, like, how they feel and other people's insecurities.
For sure.
So, like, try to take everything from, like, a compassionate angle, but then sometimes you're just like, you know what, this is 2019, like, we're like, we should be past this, like, what is going on?
I think you can take from a compassionate angle, like, so that you don't, like, hold a grudge against the person, mm-hmm. but I've found it's quite necessary to kind of call people out in the moment, or just to, like, with that guy, I matched his energy, but then I was like, okay, you know what? It's fine. I'm going to let it go.
Yeah.
And then he backtracked and was like, I'll drive you over there. And I was like, okay, great. And then we started talking about random shit and it was fine, you know?
Yes.
But it was kind of like, oh, you said that? Okay, well, I didn't actually mean that. You know, I was basically being like, you just made an assumption about me.
Totally.
And then I think he realized, oh, yeah, I did. And then he backtracked. So then I was like, okay, I'm definitely letting this go. Like, I think he got the point.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
and then
definitely.
It was fine, but it was just, yeah, so it was just kind of like, I understand, like, the reasoning behind it, maybe, but don't. I'm like, man, we're all just trying to make that money.
Totally. I think, too, like, this exact situation is mirrored so heavily in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, I don't know, thinking about how to be a truth teller within media and within literature.
Right.
It's, you can't, especially as a Black woman, you can't just go out and say things,
mm-hmm.
which I want to go out and just say the things and tell the truth exactly how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you have to be a very patient and very, very,
a 5-minute warning.
Dang. Yes.
Okay.
Very, like, kind and mindful of how you tell the truth.
Yeah.
Like, there's a really beautiful segment of a poem by Emily Dickinson,
mm-hmm.
that kind of perfectly articulates this, and it sort of speaks to the truth needing to be subliminal. Like, you need to be... Oh, I wish I had the, like, actual... Let me see. Sorry, no, we only have...
No, it's all good. I want you to finish this thought.
So it says, the truth must dazzle gradually or every man be blind.
Ah.
And I feel like that is something that I'm really trying to take into account with film writing, with journalism, with literature. Like, I'm working on two books right now.
Amazing.
They've both been written. I should say I'm editing two books right now. And I'm trying to find a way of, like, okay, how can you make this approachable to everybody and maybe have things be a little bit more ambiguous and a little bit less direct in a way that's easily digestible, because I don't think people are necessarily ready or equipped to deal with the truth.
Right. Yeah.
Which I feel like it can be frustrating, and like part of me wants to just like stand on a soapbox and be like, no, this is how it should be, or like, no, this is the issue and
yeah,
these are all the things wrong. But I feel like it kind of goes into like how to be good at debating.
Yes.
And a person who is good at debating is not the kind of person who is accusatory or tries to separate themselves from situations. It's all about compromise and knowing your audience. Yes. And knowing how to approach things in a way that's a little bit more comfortable, which while that's very frustrating and requires a hell of a lot of patience, I think that that's like the only way we can actually tap into expressing how we feel.
Yes, 100%. I couldn't agree more. I love that you said that, because I've been thinking more about that lately. Like, how do you kind of show people a lesson but not throw it in their face so that it's so aggressive that they don't receive it properly?
Totally. You know? And I think people want to also kind of arrive at ideas and arrive at solutions on their own.
Yes.
So it's like, if you can present things as like a question for them to answer themselves.
Right.
I think that is like the best strategy as like a writer or storyteller of any capacity. It's to have sort of this interaction with your audience where they're able to experience a bit of what you're experiencing.
Yeah, 100%. There's the singer Mariba, and one of her songs, it's like poetry, and she says, do not plant a seed if you do not wish for it to grow. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because I just think, yeah, you can plant a seed and then it can grow in someone's mind if they water it. So
yes.
If you plant a seed, they can like unconsciously like start watering it and come to thoughts on their own, and then it'll gradually like, I don't know, make them a better person, I guess.
Yeah. And having, like, a garden of those ideas is so much more powerful than, like, your one little, like, seed standing on that soapbox and being like, listen to my idea.
Yeah, 100%. I'm really sad that we're at the end of our, like, limit for this recording booth.
Because
I feel like you just have so much more to say. But maybe I can get you back on the podcast sometime.
I would love that.
An update
on
your life.
Yes. Yeah, after the TV series is out, and the commercial and everything.
Yeah, then you can talk about your experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. But for now, can you explain where people can go and like read your stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like my Instagram is probably the best way to find me. And that is j.m.pomeroy. Pomeroy is spelled P-O-M-E-R-O-Y. And then I have like a link to many links of work that I've done and Perfect. Things like that. Other than that, I mean, you can Google my name and read articles that I've done. Mm-hmm. I also have like a couple of like commercials and things coming out, which I will definitely link to on my Instagram.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I'll put your Instagram handle in the description of this episode, and then people can click on it. And
Amazing.
Then I'll put the other links in there too, so they can go and branch out and,
Sweet.
And read your stuff. But yeah.
Amazing.
Check out her stuff. You're amazing.
Thank you.
So glad I got to finally meet you.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Of course.
It's been a delay.
If you have any comments, questions, concerns, or requests for future episodes, please email imanadultnowwhat@gmail.com. I read every email and would love to hear from you. Please subscribe to receive future updates on episodes, and if you feel like it, please rate this podcast on your streaming platform of choice.